Back on downtown on a Tuesday afternoon. Yeah, it's time for Message in the Bottle. Brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company at 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan here to slay us as he does with his knowledge and expertise. Hello, Eric.
Hello, everybody. And for Carrie, I just want to say you're welcome.
Carrie, a huge Slayer fan, we found out.
That's how I started my day. I was like, I need something for Rich. I was like, I need something south or, you know, blah, blah, blah. South of Heaven, Slayer. I was like, boom. Yeah. Put it on. That's how I started my day. And that is why today has been so great. So,
I'm looking forward to the Striper next week.
That you're going to have to wait on. I think every member of Slayer is going to come to your house tonight with a pitchfork after making that comparison. you think we're like, that's funny. Oh, my gosh. Well, I hope you both gentlemen are well. I hope everybody in the listening audience is well. It's it's a day, I think, that befits our time, isn't it?
Yes.
Unbelievable, horrifying downpours. golly. For those of you who don't know, and I'm sure that most listeners to this program are very familiar with the entire Slayer canon, that is the title track off of their album South of Heaven. Very appropriate. So today on Message in the Bottle, we're going to be exploring southern Italy, finishing up on Italy this week, and as it's the end of the month, which is just unbelievable, and I'm sure Rich, especially being the teacher, is feeling the headlong rush into September more than most of us, which is certainly more amplified this year. In the south of Italy, it's one of the more exciting wine regions, but it's also very much lesser known, obviously, as we've been talking about Italy. I mean, we've hit places like Chianti, we've hit up in the Veneto where they make Prosecco, we've hit the place in Piedmont where they make Nebbiolo and Moscato, and all these places are, all the Americans, they're very familiar with it. Many people are familiar with the south of Italy as a vacation spot, as the American market is familiar with the north. It's just simply not us, right? There are many, many wonderful, beautiful beaches and vacation and touristy spots in the very vast area that we're sort of referring to as the south of Italy. It's just, again, it's a lot of folks from, for instance, Eastern Europe. And, of course, the first sort of vacationer slash invaders, that's a new way to put it, were, of course, the Phoenicians and the Greeks, especially. If you look at southern Italy, so, of course, you know, this famous sort of stiletto-heeled boot shape kicking Sicily right in the behind, I suppose it is. Greece is right off that land, very, very close. And so they have a lot of visitors from there. And, of course, in Sicily, which we'll get to sort of at the end of this, it's important to understand that Sicily has been owned by pretty much every conquering body of people in the Mediterranean area. It is smack dab in the middle of the Mediterranean Ocean. It is farther south, the southern tip of it, than the city of Tunis, which is the capital of, obviously, Tunisia, right? So Africa and Europe really come into sort of this weird melding pot of the Mediterranean Sea here. So if you go to Sicily, you're just as likely to see Moorish influence as Greco-Roman influence and everything in between. Grape varieties are as numerous as the invaders, which makes a lot of sense. As I've mentioned in the previous weeks, Italy is extraordinarily diverse in its enological varietals. And down here we have varietals that you really just don't see. So where is down here? I guess I should sort of cap this off first of all. So we're talking about two islands, primarily the island of Sicily, which wine-wise is, and I guess sort of history-wise, is more sort of important, at least to the American market and certainly to the Italian wine market currently. And then the island of Sardinia, which is directly below Corsica, often sort of disregarded, but we are starting to see some really nice, if not super serious, wines from Sardinia here. Even in Maine, I have carried some wines from there. So if you have interest in that, it is possible to get you examples of some of the things. But they're essentially very sort of light Provençal-esque wines that you would sort of expect from the native varietals of Sardinia. We're talking about on the mainland, so now we're below Rome, right? So the main city that people might know is Naples, right, or Napoli, with its neighboring volcano of Vesuvius, which was another reason that we chose south of heaven, because, of course, Vesuvius is theoretically where Lucifer fell and Jesus Christ cried there. And that is the region that we now know as Lacrima Christi, or the Tears of Christ. Mm. So that is sort of the main city, and that is in Campania, right? So that is on the eastern seaboard, as it were. And, of course, the city of Pompeii that was buried is south of Vesuvius and sort of east of Naples on a very large bay. There is the region of Molise, which is south of Abruzzo. They're not very well known. They make the Montepulciano, but they also make a lot of like international varieties. Puglia is a little bit more important, starting to get more important because that is where we have our Primitivo, right? Primitivo is obviously the same grape. Obviously, I've mentioned it here before, but I shouldn't assume people listen. So originally, Primitivo and Zinfandel, our Zinfandel here that is so popular in California, both originally all from Croatia. And made its way to both places through essentially, immigration, which is not a bad thing, folks. Immigration, just in case we're thinking about November, it brought us Zinfandel. So, so Puglia, and that's that sort of stiletto heel part of Italy. So again, and that is on the Adriatic Sea, right? So the other side of Italy. Then we have Basilicata, which is essentially sort of the instep. And that is essentially where we believe that the Greeks first landed. But it's not the best wine-growing region. So you do see some Alianico, which is a grape that thrives better north of it in Campania around Naples. Sangiovese, but it's not very good. And in Calabria as well. So in Calabria, you're starting to see some more interesting things. The red grape Gallioppo, for instance, which is sort of like a Pinot Noir-esque thing. It's very exciting and wonderful, but it's a lot of these places are still off the beaten path, I think it's fair to say, of most American importers. I don't think people really know how to sell the south of Italy. It's easy to sell a big red like Primitivo because you basically tell people it's Zinfandel, and they're like, oh, I get that. But unfortunately, the rest of it, I would suggest that the agronomy, the greater agronomy of most of southern Italy, except for, like I said, Puglia and Campania, is really given over to other flora. So I should then turn to the last sort of important area, which is Sicily, which is really coming on strong. Carrie, sir, may I have a time check?
Down to about 3 minutes.
Very good. Okay. So Sicily is really cool. Sicily is really cool, and I think a lot of us got interested in Sicily either because you're from New Jersey and you had friends who were, you know, their grandparents were from there, or we watched The Godfather, things like that. I mean, Sicily sort of seems like this sort of mystical place, and it is. And, of course, Mount Etna is there. Mount Etna is also very, very important, not just because it's a volcano, but because the volcanic soil on Mount Etna is lending itself to some of the best wine that is made in Europe right now. So it is made primarily using either the Nerello Mascalese grape, which is a really interesting grape, almost akin to the Nebbiolo grape of Piedmont. Really sort of dark and brooding and beautiful. But it's also, Sicily is home to some really exciting, wonderful grapes that people may have started to experience. The white grape Grillo, or the other one, which is Inzolia. These are just really wonderful, fresh white wines that are fantastic. The red Frappato, which is kind of like a Zweigelt or a Beaujolais. Very joyful sort of thing that you can have, slightly chilled. So Sicily, really up and coming. You can see that American-leaning importers are taking notice and kind of going in hard there and discovering what they've got to offer. So for anybody interested in really elegant wines, do keep your eye out for the Sicilian offerings. I should also add that Sicily is the home of Marsala, right? So everybody knows chicken Marsala. There are really awful offerings of Marsala that are out there solely for cooking, and then there are actually some like DOC level offerings that we have in the store as well. So if you're trying to make chicken Marsala and not use a $4 bottle of wine, come in. It's not a very expensive wine, even in its better iterations. We're talking like $11-$12. That is where you can get good Marsala. So Sicily, really cool, coming on strong. So if anybody has any further questions about all of Italy, of course, do come in and ask us, because there's so much to go. It could be a year-long thing, but we have to zip through everything, of course. So I will close by saying thank you to everybody for being so cool. We are still doing masks in the store, so if you want to come on in, please wear a mask. We'll be wearing masks as well, or we're still offering curbside pickup for anybody who is more comfortable with that. And thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting that we're trying to do the right thing. I have noticed that on Facebook, and my thanks go out to you.
Happy to spread the good word there. Thank you so much, Eric, as always, and we look forward to you next week as well as your musical selection.
Ah, well, I'll try to pick something louder and heavier for my boy there.
Excellent. Thanks, Eric.
All righty. Cheers.
Eric Mann of Bangor Wine and Cheese Company with Message in the Bottle here on Downtown.